guys were sitting around one day, young roommates at the time, they thought there must be a way to put on a show, to make people laugh, to serve up some cold ones and give prizes out at that. See, Andy would host, and Jazz would be the voice.
That's me.
And the show girls would sing and dance and rejoice. A party and games and stuff in tow. And pretty soon they came up with the game show.
And stuff.
A live show was uproarious. A late night hit the city deemed an historical. Jugendhall was soon busting at the seams. And Jazz and Andy took it to the road to get out and spread the joy from the game show.
And stuff.
So whimsical.
As the years went by, more game show they cried. Andy said to Jazz, hey, there's something we could try.
Asshole.
That stage is full of life, but what do you know?
Nothing.
I think it's time we take it to the radio. We're the game show and stuff on the radio. It's new and improved and also the same.
The same.
With guests and news and games, even Johnny Moe.
Hey.
Game show and stuff.
Yeah.
The game show and stuff. Trust me, it'll do into this day. Jazz and Andy will say, see you next Tuesday. The game show and stuff on the radio. The game show and stuff.
And stuff.
The game show and stuff.
And stuff.
The game show and stuff. Now on Radio Misfits.
Wow.
That was so awesome.
My fingers hurt.
Are you ready? Let's jam!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show and Stuff! With games and stuff, music, comedy, variety, and more, news, reviews, interviews, now in 100% more profanity, trivia games, guessing games, and some challenges, on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
Oh, hell no!
Great. Welcome. Yes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you all for coming in. Thank you for the rousing chanting at the beginning of the show.
Yo.
Oh, it's great to be here. My name is Anderson Loffer. I'm the host of the Game Show and Stuff. And
he
with
is.
Us as usual, is the guileless and fulsome Mr. James Anthony Zocchelli Jazz.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Anderson. Please do not use my government name. I'm trying to lay low.
You don't know.
You never know.
And with us today...
Pick your favorite style and the, select a song.
I will, sir.
Do it.
Please, relax.
Do it, Johnny Moe.
Yo.
We have with us the dilatory and dowdy.
Ooh, wow.
Which means an unkempt lady.
I was going to say that was a little unusual.
It's Mr. Jonathan Evelyn Moran, everyone.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Hey, everybody, how's it going?
If John was a lady, I think Evelyn would be a great name for her.
I quite agree. Well done, Andy.
You could shorten it. Go Evie.
Evie Moran.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Evie Moran sounds good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Not a kind of broad you're trying to fuck.
Oh, a classy broad.
Maybe one that you'd want to maybe meet at the library.
Yeah,
Go for a nature walk.
Absolutely.
Nature walk.
Solve a mystery.
Indeed.
A murder mystery in 1940s England.
Why not? I love that time period.
That was the best time to murder.
Uh-huh. It was so
especially
much easier.
In small English villages.
Oh, yeah.
You could get away with anything.
Yeah,
that's
shit.
Before...
like murder.
Unless you were black.
Yeah, well, in England, especially. But that's before they had fingerprint technology
to really bust you. Right, and CSI-type investigation.
That's right. Mm-hmm. No DNA, no right. CSI.
Right.
Well, how's everybody doing?
Not too bad.
Good. Glad to be back.
Indeed.
I'm glad I avoided Wes.
We missed you.
Well, there were so many people in the room, there was no way I was going to get on a mic anyhow.
That's right.
Yeah.
We do not miss Wes.
Tell me why.
He brought the whole gang from Secret Origins.
It's a
superhero improv show.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it is going to be awesome.
4 weeks of superhero improv genius.
All right. We'll check it out.
Hey, you know what I heard?
What did you hear, Andy?
Do you know what the Magic Castle is in
LA? Oh, yeah. I've been there a couple times, actually. Yeah.
This guy I know named Joey Cranston is opening a Chicago version of the Magic Castle.
Wow.
On Foster and Clark.
Really? On Foster and Clark?
They got a $3 million investment.
Holy Moses. That is magic.
So what, in that parking that's right there?
No, there's an old like 1940s style building. It used to be a strip mall, I think, and they're turning it into a bar and two different theaters.
Holy
and a
shit.
Big
wow.
lobby. And there's something called Chicago-style magic.
All right. I gonna, like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's done by plumbers. It's called Snake in a Drain.
And they're gonna have classes in something called Uncle Magic.
What?
You know when you have uncles that like do coin tricks and shit like that? Yeah, they're going to teach people that's, Uncle Magic.
That's pretty good. I like it. It's like dad jokes, but uncle magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty cool thing.
That sounds totally fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're going to break ground at the end of April.
We should have them on the show.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I always think of people who are so much, who have that much money going for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they wouldn't want to be involved with us.
Why not? We're so high class, Anderson.
Yeah. You know? With our... With our sweatpants and our backwards caps.
Yeah, old Milwaukee.
That's right.
Some people just like old Milwaukee.
I like old Milwaukee and I like old granddad. If it's old, I like it.
Yeah. Right.
Old English.
Means
yeah.
Got
old. I used to drink that too. Shit.
Means it's got character.
You're goddamn right.
I probably haven't drank an Old English in 10 years or something like that. But I remember it being a little too sweet and yeasty for my liking.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Malt liquor.
Yeah.
It tastes malty, right?
Yeah.
Like a chocolate malt, except with just alcohol. No chocolate.
It's just an alcohol malt.
Exactly.
So anything going on? Anything we need to know about?
I don't know, but that may be a good transition into... I mean, I don't want to complain about anything, so let's just have everybody tell us something good.
Tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Yeah. Let me see. So we all know the rules are, you know, no bitching, no moaning, no whining, no wailing, no weeping, no fussing, no fighting, no griping, no groaning, blah, 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 blah. So only positive stuff. I don't really have a lot of... I think, actually, I shouldn't put it that way. There's so many good things going on. I don't know how to pinpoint just one. So, like I said, I've been doing a lot of writing, a lot of art. I just got a lot of good stuff in the pipe right now, and it's going to be coming to fruition very soon. So maybe by next week I'll have some samples of my wares to share with you guys. Yeah, but that's...
No moment.
That's really about it. I'll also recommend a show that has been recommended to me several times, and I finally just caught because I'm on the Amazon Prime and finally took advantage of my free subscription to all these TV shows. I started watching Patriot, which is something that casts out of Chicago sometimes, and it's actually really pretty clever and kind of dope. So if you got Amazon Prime, check it out.
Former actor at Straw Dog did St. Crispin's Day. Marika Engelhardt is in that show.
Mm-hmm. Is she now?
Mm-hmm.
Is wow, she? Nice. That's super dope. Good for her. I like her.
Yes, she's dope.
Good looking.
Oh, my God. Gorgeous.
All right.
And very funny.
Tell me something good.
All right, then.
I was waiting for you to tell me something more good.
I have a couple things, I can say.
Go ahead.
I got my taxes done by our friend Tony Hancock.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a nice, healthy refund.
Nice.
Right.
That's awesome.
I met the girl I'm dating's mother.
We had
dinner last Monday.
Does she have a hot mother?
She is going to
be one of those
porno
movies.
All right.
No. It's not good. She's a gorgeous, lovely woman. And we had a great conversation, and it was a great meal. So.
Young mother?
No, she's... She's 60.
Oh, that's young.
Yeah,
that's young. Pretty good.
Yeah, definitely.
Owns a farm.
Younger than my mother.
Yeah, why are you always needling in on people's 411,
man? I just want to know.
He likes to judge.
Yeah.
He likes to judge.
That's
and
right.
Keep himself just slightly above everyone else.
Yeah. Well, no, 60's a good age for a mother, for people our age. What do you think?
For what goal? To what end?
You know, as long as your mother is 16 years older than you, it doesn't fucking matter, does it?
Well, my point is that when you are 16 years old and you have a kid, that is looked down upon in most circles.
I understand.
That I'm a part of.
Uh-huh, that's true.
But if you are...
even circles you're a part of?
Right, certain circles that I'm a part of.
Jesus Christ.
But
from the guy who eats acid for 5 days straight and goes to a college town and tries to...
Yeah.
This guy's in strangers' rooms.
You know what? Nikki listened to that whole episode. She never brought that up to me.
Wow.
She's just not.
I think at this point she's accepted it.
Yeah.
And the third thing I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Do it.
I saw, I don't know if you guys have seen it. Speaking of TV shows,
uh-huh.
Wolf Hall, show that's on Masterpiece.
No.
PBS.
Is it good?
Man. Mark Rylance plays Thomas Cromwell.
Okay.
It's the jam, dude.
What's it about?
It's about Thomas Cromwell and his battle with King Henry VIII to get his marriage annulled from...
Right.
What is it?
The Pope.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the Catholic Church.
Yeah, his whole time in the English court at that time.
Yeah. So
how Episcopalianism came to be.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. All There's right. a bunch of really good actors in the show, and it's really well done. So.
Nice. That was multiple Shaka Khans.
Yes. Pretty good.
I'm crushing it.
Yeah.
It's true. You
too
got
much
it.
Good shit yeah. for Johnny.
Do you have anything?
That's entirely too much good shit.
Yeah.
May something bad happen to you.
Well, I'm glad you overdid it because I have a feeling Andy's going to underdo it.
Oh, no,
guys, you don't have shit good to say
I
today.
I was thinking about it, and I have a couple good
stuff.
Things.
Okay, bring it on.
Hey, I said that's good that her mother is 60 years old. I said that's good.
Well, I'm glad you think so.
It's just so fucking incongruous and good. Unnecessary.
That's great. It's fucking awesome, dude.
How old's your mom?
Fucking score, dude.
I was like, yeah! Would that make you feel better, Johnny?
No, it's actually weirder. It's weird.
It's so weird.
No, man, because sometimes... Because
you said it with that snarl in your voice, too.
When you hit late 30s, early 40s, you don't fucking know what people's parents are going to be.
True.
Sometimes you meet somebody's mom and they're 70, right? Which is about a good age for somebody who had a kid and they're... mid-30s or something.
Sure, sure.
And then sometimes if you meet your friend's parents and their mom, they're like, my mom's 85 or some shit. And you're like, holy God.
Yeah.
No, that's
tough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're too young to have 85-year-old moms.
Right.
You don't want to be introduced to your new girlfriend's mom and then think that you might be attending her funeral sometime soon.
Right.
I guess that's
right.
True.
Or like, I need to think about how serious I get with this girl because I'm going to be taking care of this broad.
Or her mom walks in and you say, oh, is that your grandmother?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. God. This lady better not fall down. She's going to break, like Mr. Glass, going to break all her fucking bones.
Oh, God. Terrible.
Okay, I have two things. One is I got my taxes done as well with Tony Hancock.
Hey, Tony Hancock.
Let me tell you, he was on the show, and it took 45 minutes to go in there, and he says like things like, I'm going to beat up these taxes. It's like George Foreman.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
And he did. He beat up my taxes. Wow. And what I had been getting in refunds for doing the same thing, basically, like he knows how to write things off in a way that I'm getting triple what I was getting using TurboTax.
Whoa!
By myself.
Yep. He's worth every fucking penny.
All right.
So I'm telling you, dude, you got to go over there.
River West, right?
River East.
River East. Okay, there you go. River East. I'm going. I'm coming in, Tony.
And the other thing I wanted to say is I have been, you know, since I started as a tour guide, the thing that has become most interesting to me about Chicago is the World's Fair of 1893.
Oh, yeah.
It is fascinating.
Huge, huge, awesome
And
story.
So I started thinking, like, I wonder if there's any artifacts that still exist from the World's Fair that I could own.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Interesting.
And so I went out and I bought original ticket to Chicago Day on October 9th to the World's Fair.
Wow, that's impressive.
Where'd
I guess.
You find something
yeah,
like
how
that?
The hell did you find one of those?
An antique dealer.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, and it's not that expensive.
Was it like
apparently
the
there's a bunch of them.
Okay.
Was it like the antique dealer in the Friday the 13th the series?
I don't know what that is, but I'm sure very similar.
Okay.
Very scary.
So I got one of those. No. I also got this like original brochure that tells you all the exhibits and everything.
Oh, that's
it's pretty
cool.
Very
cool,
wow.
Man.
And I was like, maybe I can see myself. I don't collect shit like Jazz does. Like Jazz has tons of, he has lots of collections of different things.
Collectibles.
But I could see myself collecting one, like things from one event. And I think that would be the World's
Fair.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But if you see, like, brochures and paper products from them, those are pretty affordable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, people who make the money we make.
And they go through, there's so many of them made.
Right. But then once you get up to, like, each state had their own little lapel pins made for the World's Fair. And there's, like, tokens for the Ferris wheel that
exists. So you're talking, are you talking about the Columbia Exposition in 1893 or the World's Fair in 1933?
No, the Columbian Exposition.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Right. Well, you just said World's Fair. That's all. I'm just clarifying. That's all.
Yeah. So that stuff gets a little pricey.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
The hard goods.
But
you know
that's
what
I'd be interested in getting some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what you can still get from the Columbian Exposition in 1893 to this very day is Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, which won their fucking blue ribbon at that fair, and they've been serving the same watery shit ever since.
And Cracker Jacks.
Yeah,
that's right.
And you can get zippers on your clothes.
Yay!
Brownies.
Right.
Yeah, brownies.
Let me tell you something, though, about those brownies. You ever had one of those down at the Palmer House?
No.
Here's the easiest way to put it.
Okay.
Brownie technology has evolved over the past 130 years.
Yeah, you'd think.
Then when you eat one, you're like, this is garbage. This is fucking terrible.
Oh, no. Really?
Like, basically, every brownie on Earth is better than the original brownies.
Wow.
Which is probably the same way you think about, like, basketball players. Like, every basketball player since 1910 has been better than the first basketball player.
Absolutely. There wasn't much to it back then. Yeah. Were they playing in sandals?
They
played in complete seersucker suits.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like dandies.
With the badminton rackets.
And the score was 10-8.
Yeah. Oh, after a five-hour game.
Oh, no.
So anyway, I needed
to... come a long way, baby.
I wanted to ask you guys advice about one thing. Okay. So, I just got a promotion at work.
Oh, congratulations.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, very cool.
But I started finding this World's Fair stuff, and I got an extra World's Fair ticket.
Okay.
It just came with two for Chicago Day.
Okay.
And I was saying, who would appreciate this more than my boss?
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking about giving it to my boss. Is it appropriate to give a gift to my boss, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You think it is?
Yeah. Well,
you don't think that's trying to curry favor with the boss?
No. Well, no, you've already got the promotion. You don't have to do anything to curry favor with your boss. You've obviously curried plenty of favor with your boss.
Right.
So much so that you got a goddamn promotion out of the deal.
And also, I think I've come to understand, some certain office environments and giving gifts either at the holidays or things like that. Totally accepted.
Yeah.
And appreciated too.
It is. You don't think it'd be weird if people came in the office and were like, "Where'd you get that?" And he was like, "This guy gave it to me."
Well, there's also thought behind your gift too, because it's related to your industry, right?
Mm-hmm. Big time.
It's a nice artifact.
How big is it? Is it frameable?
Yeah, I'd put it in a frame.
Or do you want is it the size of a baseball card?
Yeah,
I got some baseball card, sheaths and containers.
Yeah, it's about baseball card size.
Okay, well, you could give it to him and he could just set it on his desk. He doesn't even have to put it on the wall.
Yeah.
I think that's good advice.
All right, so I'll do it.
I'll tell you.
If I get fired, though.
The only way you get fired if in that instances where if you were to present it to her or him naked and it was directly lodged in your ass.
Like, here it is, an ass card for him. One ticket for ass.
It's from the Colombian exposition.
Oh, come on.
Overreaching.
Yeah, it was a little tough. That was tough.
It was a little
objection.
Sustained.
All right, good deal.
Indeed.
So how was that, Jazz?
That was
for a Chaka Khan.
That was hugely, majorly Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan! Tell me something good.
I got to tell you, Jazz.
Tell me.
Chaka Khan has really changed my perspective on
awesome.
A lot of things, and it's very helpful. It's becoming one of my favorite moments of the week.
Awesome.
It's one of those things where you honestly have to take a minute to think about, and then you realize, oh, wow, everything's, pretty good.
Yeah.
A gratitude corner.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, let's face it. We all know there's plenty to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of bad stuff in the world, and most of it's out of our control. And then when you start to focus on the things that are really, impacting your day-to-day existence, most of them are positive, and even the things that aren't are manageable,
yeah.
I think we tend to get in over our heads, looking around at all the negativity. So I'm glad it's working for you. I feel like it's been working for me too.
Cheers.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's a beautiful thing.
All right, we have a new segment we're going to try out, Jazz.
Do we?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's called, you ready?
I'm ready.
Ask Andy.
Okay.
Isn't that all right?
Yeah.
We saw how hot these advice shows were on the radio, and we thought it would be a great chance for us to dig in and try them out for ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You've got
three eligible young men here who are more than willing to give you all the advice you need for all your fucking idiot problems.
Yeah. Fucking idiots. Way to spin it.
Here's some advice, stupid. Maybe that's what we should call it.
You fucked your way into this, you're going to have to fuck your way out.
So today I have three questions from young women.
All right.
Who need some advice. And I thought we could get started.
Okay.
These would be great kind of conversation topics for us to go on and see where we're all coming down on these. All right?
Sure.
Sure.
Also, if you have, if you need some advice, please send an email to andstuff@radiomisfits.com.
Yeah, do it. We're here.
You can post it on our Facebook page as well if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Operators are
I'd rather keep names
by.
Out of it, though, if you could just send
That's
us
true.
Something.
That's anyway. True. Good point. I appreciate that as well.
Okay, so, here we go, Jazz. What, our first advice.
What do we have, Andy?
Our first question. Dear Game Show Show, my boyfriend's ex-fiance is an overbearing, success-starved lunatic who dresses like a grandma and listens to Celine Dion. She's 31 and has slept with two men in her entire life, one of whom was my boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Recently, he compared me to her by telling me I am too sexually easy. And last night, he went so far as to call me a slut, even stating that I may not be the girl for him.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
This sent me into a fit of hysteria for the rest of the evening.
Yeah.
I've never had a one-night stand in my life. I barely enjoyed a boob grope till college. I'm 24, and I've dealt with my fair share of men, but don't worry, I can still count the guys I've had sex with on one hand.
Okay.
His comparing me to her cut deeper than any of his absurd accusations and insults. Can I write this off as him being intoxicated or to his being 10 years older? I don't want to lose him. He's the best man I've ever known, and I don't know what to do.
I'll start.
All right.
Signed who?
Easy A.
Easy A.
E. Letter Z. Easy A. If
it's
if
like Easy E's little sister.
So Easy A, I would say that I respect that you've had your fair share of men and dealt with them, but you're also 24 years old, so you have plenty of time to find another option. I think that this particular gentleman has some issues wrapped up in his ex-fiance that he has not gotten over him.
Yeah,
and I think that. You will probably be the butt of, or the recipient of his negative energy, from here on out. So I think maybe it's time to cut him loose.
Oh, wow.
Cut loose the dude.
Wow.
I'll go next and I'll say, the way this is written, not only tells me that maybe the boyfriend is wrong in calling you a slut.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be a slut.
Sure.
You want him to call you a slut.
No shame in that.
Which is totally fine.
But you wrote about his ex-fiance as a lunatic.
Right.
And said all the negative shit about her first thing.
That's true.
The first thing you listed here.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you need to look inside yourself and figure out what your fucking issue is with this other lady. Are you jealous because she's 8 years older than you?
Right.
You're just 24. You need to get your shit together.
Yeah.
Get out there and fuck a million dudes.
Yep.
Before you decide on one guy.
Yeah, at least. Or, this is my turn on the advice. I would say just get over your insecurities about this woman and just target her and just go try to fuck her to get back at the boyfriend.
Okay. All right.
You think she should fuck the ex-fiance?
Yeah, why not?
Hell yeah.
I mean, obviously all these people are lunatics, so, you know, I want to see them
make
fuck.
It a lunatic fest.
Yeah, exactly.
Send pictures and money.
Please. And stuff at RadioMisfits.com.
We have Venmo.
That's right.
PayPal. Square Reader. Okay, here's our next one. I think we're on a roll, guys.
Yeah, it's really
doing good.
Ask Andy.
Johnny's suggestion was to break up with a guy. My suggestion was to take a look in yourself. And Jazz's suggestion was to fuck the other lady.
That's right.
Try out some lesbian shit.
That's right. Here we go. What's next, Andy?
Dear Game Show Show, I've been seeing a married man for a few months.
Uh-oh.
Everything was good. He told me he was not a cheating asshole and was soon divorcing his wife. I believed him. But then a couple of days ago, we were at a cafe, and by chance, his wife walked in with a friend of hers.
Oh, no.
The man didn't even flinch. He introduced me as the new girl he'd been seeing. The wife said hello, mentioned she was heading to Whole Foods, and asked him if he needed anything. Then after reminding him to pick up something for the house, a mirror. She told him she loved him and without missing a beat walked off. It was instantly clear that he was never going to divorce her. He confessed that they were in an open relationship and that he had no intention of leaving.
Oh.
He explained that it was just easier to say he was unfaithful because women don't think twice about being the other women but don't want to be one of two women.
Oh, okay.
I feel cheated. In a burst of anger, I messaged his wife and reported his double cross.
Oh, my gosh.
She responded with, "Yikes, he's done this before. I'll discourage him. I'm so sorry. I was lied to. I feel small and depressed. Where do I go from here?" Signed, Anonymous.
Okay.
Wow.
I think, Jazz, you seem to have strong feelings about this.
I mean, this is just... this is twisted. Yeah. Either this girl has got to fuck that wife, and either she's got to become a permanent part of their weird ass relationship, or she's got to get the fuck out.
Yeah,
I don't know these people, so I can't really wholeheartedly advise you either way. But I think those are your only two options,
young lady. You're gonna need to eat some pussy.
That's right.
Make that fist disappear.
Oh. You're going to have to fist that old wife.
Oh, my God.
You're going to give her an old wives' tale.
Oh, my
God. Of an arm.
The handmaid's tale.
Oh, golly. All right. Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
This guy sounds like a real piece of shit.
Yeah, no shit.
He doesn't care about this person's feelings at all.
No.
And I'm wondering if she cares about him at all. Like, does she care enough about him to have to potentially go through this again?
Right.
Is she going to be comfortable sharing? Because I have no problem with open relationships. I think that's, in this day and age, I mean, come on.
It can happen.
Can it?
I think it can.
I've never tried or succeeded
at that.
I don't even know if I ever even brought that shit up. I'd get thrown right out of the house. Plus, it seems too much to manage.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, Lord knows.
Like, anytime you see one good looking broad Wi-Fi, you've been like, your instincts are like, man, I'd like to have sex with her. And then immediately your brain kicks in and is like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the fucking pain and bullshit you have to go through?
Yeah. Oh. This bitch is a head case just like all of them. She might have a better ass than most, but that doesn't mean
shit. It's not worth
it. No, it really doesn't.
Same shit's on inside.
That's right.
I think... okay, for Anonymous, I'd say that it's up to you as far as what you're willing to fucking tolerate. Right,
right.
If you feel small about this now, you're probably going to feel small about it later when this dude continues to be with his fucking wife.
That's right.
So, it's much similar to the first case. You either let him go and find something else, or you fucking stick it out.
Right.
I'm just amazed at how men could have emotional love to spread between different people. Like, I just don't have that. I want to give it to one woman and then to my friends. Like, the idea of being with that many women at one time is just so fucking stressful.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think?
Well, I think...
oh, yeah, I mean, sure. But, I mean, I don't know. That's a complicated ball of wax, bro.
The open relationships I've seen are basically, it's like a three-way dance where every person involved... has a healthy respect for each other. They actually have a good time hanging out with each other.
Right. You know people do this?
Yeah. And that they spend a lot of time together all in the same place.
Right.
And it's not like he has one life here and then he's fucking banging some other broad on the other side of town.
Right, right.
They end up spending a lot of time together physically.
Yeah.
Do the girls bang each other too?
No.
Oh, well.
At least not in the cases I've seen.
It puts Jazz right off of
it. Where's the fringe benefit in that?
Yeah. I've heard of people, you know, there's this whole polyamorous category now where, and I think that it starts in relationships like you're talking about, where three people or however many people, I don't even know, but, you know, they develop mutual respect, mutual admiration, and they become a group of lovers instead of just, you know, two lovers like your normal relationship.
You would just think the jealousy would kick in the second someone was like, I'm going to go see a movie with Diane instead of hanging out with you, Evelyn. You
know? Right. Poor Evelyn.
She's always left out in the cold.
Oh, man. So what are you thinking, Andy? Anything?
I don't know, man. I don't think any of this is good news for anyone.
Yeah, right?
But the way the wife responded with, like, oh, he's done this before. I'll just discourage him from it. That seems like, oh, okay, and then everybody's down for whatever.
Right, and also the fact that she has her contact information to just send her
Facebook
a fucking message. That's fucking weird, too, man. So either they're all going to be down for it, or they're not.
Well, it seems like the wife is like, oh, he's done this before. I'll discourage him. So sorry you feel this way. Is her way of saying, like, I don't give a fuck about this.
Right.
Right.
Do whatever you want.
I got kids.
Yeah, you're probably 10 years younger. You know?
Yeah.
All these questions so far strike me as 24-year-old
girls.
Here's
another good question. What if she was that girl 10 years prior, and then he was with somebody else who was of an older age?
Sure.
So she's been down that road before.
What if he just has a really good pill hookup?
Could
be.
Like, maybe he's got a massive
penis. And everyone's
penis.
Like, well, whatever. I don't care. He gets me pills. So.
Right. Yeah. Pills or
a
giant cock.
Fucking,
yeah.
Those giant dicks.
Those will get you a little extra leverage in life, for sure.
Yeah. I don't have either of those things.
Oh, poor Andy.
I have a regular dick and no pill hookup. That would be my advice, Thomas.
Become me.
Dear Abby. I have a regular-sized dick and no pill connections. Where do I go from here?
Oh, man.
She'd be like, stay in school. Buy low, sell high. All right, here's our next advice.
I got to find a pill connection, I guess.
Invest in gold.
Dear Game Show, my sister got married in L.A., I live in New York, and I threw her bachelorette party in Las Vegas.
Wow.
I booked and prepaid for hotel rooms and a rental car for the 5 bridesmaids, so each of the young ladies owes me $175.
Uh-oh.
One gave me the money as soon as she arrived, another after being reminded, and a third claimed she would send it to me via my sister the following week.
Uh-huh.
The last two said they'd pay me later. Needless to say, I never got the rest of my money.
Ugh.
I'm okay with it because it was for my sister and she was happy. Well, imagine my surprise when my sister called and said the same 3 women who never paid want to come to New York for a visit and stay with me.
Ugh. Don't do it.
If these people had even acknowledged their debt, they would have been one. That would have been one thing, but they haven't. Is it wrong to charge these women $175 to stay with me?
Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
That's what I'm saying. Hell to the no.
Hell
now,
no.
For me, you know, I have not.
Oh, hell no.
I haven't always been perfect in terms of transactions between friends.
Sure.
You know, I haven't always been perfect. But now I understand the impact and the fucking importance of being just a decent fucking person, especially the people that are supposed to be your friends and
that's
your family.
Right? $175 isn't a ton of money.
It's not
for
a lot of money either.
A hotel and a rental car.
Don't go out for a weekend.
I mean, somebody's got to pay the piper, man.
Yeah, time to pay the fiddler, whore.
That's what I'm saying. Come on, bitches.
Why don't you guys all go down?
And I was going to say either that or you got to go to that apartment
and fuck.
You
got to
put
friends
on a show.
Yeah. Better all be covered in pussy by the time New York City.
Woo-wee. And I can imagine what their voices would sound like too, like the vocal fry thing.
I was hoping I could come and say I have it.
Lisi and Lisa are not getting along right now. So,
dear love and Williamsburg.
I was hoping I could come stay with you. I was a bridesmaid at your sister's wedding.
Dear love and Brooklyn.
I'll bring all my dildos.
Yeah,
you better eat some pussy, bitch.
Can we go to
so classic.
Well, I think we've satisfied all of these questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. We fucked these questions good.
Man, we did it to death.
Pretty good. Okay. I think we all have very good ideas on how to Please, ladies.
Indeed.
Oh yeah, that's right. We were asked advice from three different women.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what they were expecting. That's right. Yes. Advice from three fucking middle-aged dudes.
Yeah.
Right.
White dudes.
Oh man.
On the internet.
I'm so happy.
That's really, really satisfied my curiosity about these issues.
I need a chai latte.
Boo is right.
Boo for real. Okay, yeah. Let's do the news.
Time now for Anderson Lawfer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
America's favorite segment of the game show and stuff.
I love it.
Give us
the news, Andy and Oh!
Let's start with hungry, hungry snakes.
Oh, no.
Let's not.
Oh.
Ay, ay, ay.
This is this was making the rounds this week, so I don't feel like this is a game show exclusive, but no. It's something we should it's definitely worth discussing.
It's in our wheelhouse.
Okay.
The body of a 25-year-old man who vanished in a remote village in Indonesia has been found in the belly of a 23-foot-long snake.
Oh, God almighty.
Father of two, Akbar Salubrio,
mm-hmm. Well done, Anderson.
Had gone to harvest palm oil on his family's plantation on the island of Sulawesi on Sunday when villagers heard cries from the palm grove.
Wait.
That's the name of my favorite novel, Cries from the Palm Grove. A search party found scattered fruit, a tool, and a boot before coming across a bloated, reticulated python.
What's reticulated mean?
That's the kind of python, I think. That's mm-hmm. what it's called.
Okay.
Well, allow me to do the research while you continue, but...
A video of the subsequent dissection shows human legs inside the snake as villagers slowly peel open the snake.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude, really?
Yeah.
We watched the video before you got here, John.
Oh, my God, dude.
Police say Akbar's whole body was found in the snake's stomach along with his other well-preserved boot. The village secretary says Akbar has a wound on his back suggesting he was attacked from behind.
Oh,
reticulated pythons typically seize boars and wild dogs with their fangs before suffocating the prey and swallowing it whole.
Oh my God, dude.
The problem is, as the forest gets smaller, they have left less stuff to prey on.
Yeah, that's right.
And so they start attacking humans. It says attacks on humans are rare but increasing.
Oh no.
Yep. Thanks, Trump.
Dude.
Yeah.
Somehow this is Donald Trump's fucking fault.
Well, it's just like during the 8 years Obama was in office, everybody on the conservative side, you know, was like, thanks, Obama. Well, I'm just going to fucking blame everything on his
ass. Damn straight.
Now. He threw out the fucking... Did you see the guy from the EPA get that check the other day?
Yeah. That look on his face.
That shit was fucking hilarious. God. I mean, and
it's
sad.
It's
but
so
hilarious.
Sad. So sad, man.
That's like Ebenezer Scrooge flipping you a nickel.
Right.
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, son. Get something nice for your family.
You'll never afford the goose.
and he's all over saying I should get all this credit for blah, blah, blah. It's like, fuck yourself.
Yeah. No.
Go eat a fucking dick,
just
bro.
Just the biggest dick. Just the biggest dick.
So reticulated typically refers to a design, you know, like sort of a shape. But then with, I think there's there's squirrels and there's pythons and.
Oh my God!
It's just a species with a typical or mm-hmm. a type of shape.
They said the problem with humans is with these snakes pattern. Is because human shoulder blades don't. I forget the word, but they don't like contract or they don't fold in.
Okay.
Like most animals' hips do.
Sure.
And so that's why smaller snakes have a hard time eating humans if they start at the head.
Oh, that's too bad.
But this snake was big enough that its entire shoulder, the guy's shoulders just slid right in.
Well, and he ate him from the feet. So obviously he attacked him, killed him, drained him of his life, and then, as the guy was crawling away and just, expired, then the snake caught up to him and got him from the shoes.
God damn it. That is the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah. Oh. It's really awful. It's gross, too.
Johnny's dick just went right inside of his
mouth. Yeah, he did. It got reticulated.
He's got reticulated.
I keep thinking of, because I don't really want to see the video.
No, you don't.
But I keep thinking of, like, what it could be, and, like, he's half digested.
No, he's in there, like, dude.
Straight up.
This is in there.
Just his whole body.
Dude, the snake is, like, it looks like it has a person. You know in cartoons where a snake
it's a
has
shape
a,
outline of his body?
That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like, pretty much.
Dude.
It's unbelievable.
Dude.
Bro.
Oh. It's like if he ate like a big cello, like you'd see the cello shape.
Yeah, totally.
Same thing. Right?
Yep. And they basically just cut the thing open.
And he just
and
slid
he's
out.
Just there.
Yeah, he's just right in there.
That's fucking sad, too,
like,
right?
It really is. Whatever his name is.
Because, like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's dead, but yet he's perfectly preserved still, even though he's been inside a fucking snake. That's fucked up.
What can you do, man?
I mean,
not living now.
Don't harvest palm oil for a living.
Sure. Or just stop encroaching on the natural habitats of the predators in our world, please.
Man, we might stop encroaching, but I would say send out like a SEAL Team 6 to go out there and kill all these fucking snakes. Like, I don't want to see Snake Team 6. I don't. When you come back, there better not be any fucking reticulated pythons left in this whole palm oil island.
I think there was a movie
come
about
on.
That made, and it was called Predator 2.
Yeah,
that's right.
There you go. That's what right. I want to. So, that needs to be real life.
Oh, come on.
Spiders for dinner?
You mean leftovers?
Spiders could theoretically eat every human being on the planet and still be hungry.
What? Come on.
But fear not. While some arachnids snack on lizards, birds, and even small mammals, they're not suggesting the eight-legged creatures could begin dieting on people.
No.
Professors Klaus Burkhofer and Dr. Martin Neifeler.
Good job.
Have estimated that the globe's spider population eats between 400 million and 800 million tons of prey every year.
Okay.
That means that spiders eat as least as much meat as all 7 billion humans on the planet per year.
Wow. That's crazy.
The collective biomass of every human on Earth is 287 million tons.
Okay.
So that means the spiders could eat all that and be hungry.
Still.
Eat five times, basically, the amount of people on Earth every year.
Oh, wow.
So think about that, too.
No, that's the next horror movie.
Yeah, that is Grossosaurus Rex.
So that means, for example, if we kill bees and we kill moths and we kill all that shit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That the spiders will have no other choice but to start eating people.
They'll just become the new predator.
And then they'll become huge. They'll be people-sized spiders.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like those fucking, like that one spider that, what's her name, told us about, the one in Hawaii, though, that can slice coconuts open with its claws.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's some bullshit right there.
I'll say.
In the report in Science and Nature, they also estimated that spiders eat a similar amount to the world's whales' weight every year.
Wow.
Jesus.
All the whales on Earth.
Yeah.
Wow. That is messed up. Man, this coconut spider in Hawaii is like crazy large.
It's fucking insane, dude.
It's gross, and it looks like a crustacean, and it's like the size of a garbage can.
Can you imagine being at it like a wedding and you seeing a whole bunch of coconut spiders in Hawaii?
No.
You're like, what the fuck did we decide to come to this godforsaken
place
for?
Why did we have the wedding on the beach?
Oh my god.
Coconut spider country.
Tell me why.
The majestic coconut spider in its natural habitat.
Oh. Gross.
Stop snoring.
I'll try.
Are you a snorer?
So a little bit.
I snore.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think all men our age probably snore.
So, a little bit.
I'd say if you're like 15 pounds overweight, you probably snore no matter what.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Probably.
And we're all overweight. Yeah. So.
There you go.
This story's from Beijing.
Okay.
A man in China is facing up to a decade in jail for a cleaver attack on a snoring roommate.
Oh, no.
That's perfectly justified.
Victim sustained multiple severe wounds to his head and torso during an attack in Binzhou, Zhejiang province. And the assailant was charged with intentional assault.
Sure.
The two men were both loud snorers.
Redundant.
At a factory. Like they lived in apartments in a factory.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
And they had been assigned to the same dorm room because their snoring disrupted the sleep of other roommates.
Wow.
Ah.
But the tension between them soon mounted as their snoring affected each other.
Wow.
After failing to doze off one night, one of the men grabbed a... like a butcher knife from the dorm cafeteria and started attacking the sleeping roommate.
No!
That's fucked up.
That's terrible.
Security camera shows footage of the assailant chasing the bloodied victim down the dorm hallway and cornering him at the end of the corridor. The victim tried to protect himself with a blanket but slipped on the ground and was attacked again by the assailant. The attack was eventually stopped after other colleagues on the same floor woke up and intervened. Like, first you wake me up by snoring, and now you wake me up by stabbing the other fucking guy.
Oh, my God.
Both of them are snorers, so the company arranged for them to share the same dorm room, the police officer says. Right. The officer said the two men had argued earlier that day, and the assailant grew angrier as he brooded in the argument and the snoring.
Why?
He took a cleaver from the company's cafeteria, started attacking his roommate.
Oh, man, that's crazy. You know, it's funny because I do snore. My girl snores a good bit, too. And I think that it's fortunate that she does because then she doesn't hear me. You know what I mean? But then I still hear her sometimes. So what do you do? What do you do or what does your girl do when you're snoring?
My girl does not snore at all.
Okay. But what does she do when you're snoring? Does she kick you in the nuts or what?
She hits me in the back and says, roll over.
Okay.
I usually only snore if I eat late at night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, that's a bad time
for
me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But when I used to drink, I would snore.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
So she's like, roll over. And then, like, but like on Monday, what day is today? Tuesday.
Yeah.
On Sunday night, I was snoring. We went out to eat or something late. Mm-hmm. And I was snoring. And she was like, just go to the other room.
Oh, wow. She made you bounce.
Yeah. And I was like, it's good. I mean, she's got to work early. And I got, she's going to keep, because also you get frustrated. You're like, you keep fucking waking me up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
It's better if I just go out there.
Yeah. All right. Good for you guys.
And, you know, I have no problem with that either. You know, because the last thing I would feel bad now that I know that I'm keeping you up and I won't go to sleep now, too. So, but if we're separate, at least one of us. Has a better chance.
Where do you sleep, on your back or on your side?
I sleep. I tend to sleep on my tummy if I'm sleeping well. I notice now that I end up sleeping on my back if I don't feel like I'm getting enough oxygen. I'll find myself like my neck craning up on my back as if like to open up my passage.
Uh-huh.
It's really fucking strange.
Okay.
But I think, lately it's because I've had some fucking ridiculous congestion and phlegm going on. So
it's rainy outside. It's congestion.
That's it.
Fucking
that's it.
Bullshit.
Springtime.
Sleep on your back.
I tend to either that or on my side sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm not a belly sleeper.
I sleep on my left side.
Yeah.
And I put a pillow between my knees.
Oh, I do the pillow.
Oh, I do that too.
Yeah, I do
that's
the
great.
Pillow. You got to do the pillow.
I want to get one of those long body pillows.
Uh-huh.
Do you have one of those?
No, it's just a regular pillow.
Yeah, that's all I have.
You just want to be able to hug it.
Yeah.
And hump it.
Yeah.
Just like, mm-hmm.
You need to put like a glory hole right in that pillow.
Velvet dick
big old thing. Big bowl of Jello on the other side.
Oh, that's gross. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Sharknado.
I hate that movie.
Real Sharknado happened.
You're kidding.
TV journalist Philip Calder was out reporting in Ayr, a coastal town in the state of Queensland, Australia.
Wow.
That got hit by Cyclone Debbie last week.
Oh, no.
Cyclone Debbie.
When he ran into a bull shark stranded in the middle of the road.
Oh, no.
Shark got caught in a torrent and confused, and it got beached, and it got sucked up by the cyclone and thrown into the land.
Wow.
Poor shark.
A bull shark washed up in Ayr. Stay out of the floodwater, tweeted Queensland Fire and Emergency.
Uh-huh.
5-foot-long bull shark was dead.
Oh.
Was discovered. was in the middle of the fucking
street. Well,
I guess
better than it being alive. Shit, I mean...
Can you imagine just walking down the street and here comes a fucking shark coming out of the air? Yeah, right. You're like, I just got off this plane with this giant-ass python on there, and now there's a shark coming at me.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, these spiders are coming out of the left field.
Yeah,
trying to eat me.
Oh, God, no.
Everything, man.
Everything is fucked.
But it's all fucked, bro.
I will tell you that telling these stories, though, sure makes Trump seem less dangerous.
That's right.
Than everything else in the world.
Yeah. That's right. I am no more endangered by, anomalous predators than I was before he got elected, right?
Yeah. Still in danger.
My chance of finding a crocodile in my toilet are the same now as they were before.
When they cut down on these environmental protection things.
That's right.
That might be.
Yeah.
We might have more options.
You're right. You're right.
Attacked by a Komodo dragon.
Oh, no. Come on.
Okay, although, could you imagine if they find Donald Trump one day and he has a guy's body, like the shape of a dude's body and his reticulated torso?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, we'll be like, oh, it's okay. We're white dudes. He wouldn't eat us.
Oh, come on.
He only eats Jews and blacks.
Oh, come on. Do we know that for sure?
I think that's what I read on
Breitbart?
On the message boards.
Oh, God. Don't believe it.
Too many hamburgers.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing.
This is an update from the Guinness World Record eating competition.
Okay.
Ricardo Rick's Terabyte Francisco has gobbled his way to a new Guinness World Record for the most hamburgers eaten in 1 minute.
Oh, wow.
In a minute?
Big hamburgers.
Come on, how could there be one minute? More than one. I don't understand.
Francisco, 24-year-old, ate 5 hamburgers in 60 seconds.
What?
Last Monday. Asked how he felt after breaking the record, he shouted, "Still hungry."
Still an asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
He beats the previous Guinness record of 4 burgers by Furious Pete Zerwinski of Toronto in July 2013.
Oh, Canada.
I could eat in 1 minute. I could probably, I like to
take
kind of an egomaniac. Uh-huh. I think I could do 3, but I think I'd probably just do 1.
No way.
And so it begs the question, were there condiments or other dressing involved?
I'm guessing meat on bread.
Just like a hot dog eating contest. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah.
So he probably ate the patties separately from the buns and dipped the buns in water and did all that gross shit they do out on Coney Island during
5 in a minute, though, dude.
That's crazy.
So what he was saying, there's probably an 8-ounce patty?
Yeah. Oh, I could do
40 ounces of
I could food. Do. Oh, I think God. I could do 10 hot dogs in 5 minutes.
Okay.
But I don't think I could do 5 hamburgers in 1 minute. Yeah, maybe 5 hamburgers in 5 minutes.
Because it's just so much harder to chew.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? How could you do?
I don't know. I mean, if we had a contest.
Which we might. It's summertime coming up.
We might have to do that. See how fast we can eat a package of hot dogs, like 8 hot dogs.
Yeah.
Because you think you could do, you said 10 in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
What do you think?
I think I could do 8.
In
I
5?
Could do 8 in 5 minutes. That's it.
What do you think, Johnny?
What I could do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I'd be lucky if I could get 2 down in a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
2 hot dogs in 1 minute? How about in 5 minutes?
I could probably do 4 hot dogs in 5 minutes.
Wow, he's underbidden.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going real low.
Because, dude, I don't eat a lot of meat these days.
Oh, okay.
So my body.
Oh, you'll be shitting your brain.
Oh, I'll feel like complete ass for like 3 days.
Yeah,
Jazz, probably. What did you say?
I could probably do 8. I could do 8 in 5 minutes. I could do a package of hot dogs. Because, I mean, honestly, dude, I'll eat a package of hot dogs in a day sometimes in the summertime. If I'm just, I'll just throw them on the grill and I'll eat 3
all
quick.
I'll eat
3 real quick and then I'll like go back a couple hours later and eat 2 more. And then for a fucking midnight snack, you might have one before you know you got 6.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a lot of phosphates.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So you guys care to make it interesting?
Okay.
Oh, boy.
We'll pick a date for the summer, and we'll have a hot dog eating contest.
All right, let's do it.
Does that sound fun?
I'm down.
Okay.
We need to find a venue.
We need to get good hot dogs.
Yes.
We need a sponsor.
Okay. Well, the kind of people that are going to sponsor us aren't going to make good hot dogs.
Oh. They're not a...
I don't think we're getting Hebrew National to sponsor us the way we talk about stuff around here.
Not going to be like Hot Dog University graduates.
No, I heard on your show that you think Donald Trump eats Jews.
Yeah, is that true?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
So, bro. Hebrew National, what do you think? We won't eat Jews.
That's right. We promise. Oh, my gosh.
1923 jokes.
My favorite.
The Chicago Tribune put out a list of the best jokes of 1923 that were sent in to the Tribune.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's hear them.
You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Mother, was your name Pullman before you married Daddy? Asked little Francis. No, dear, replied the mother. What made you think so? Well, I just wondered. I see that name on most of our towels.
They stole them
from the trains.
From the trains, because people didn't stay in hotels when they traveled because they were too poor, so they just stayed on the train.
Oh my God. That's a poor person joke.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the next one. The son is reading. He says, Pop, what is a pedestrian? And Pop says, a pedestrian, my son, is the raw material for an automobile accident.
That's a rich person's joke.
He's like, I'll be straight running over, motherfuckers.
Right. 15 miles an hour, bitch.
My Model T.
Auga.
The T in Model T stands for terror.
Yeah. Watch out.
White man coming through.
Some Mad Max shit out in Chicago in 1923. Running these bitches over. Mr. Jones had recently become the father of triplets. The minister stopped him on the street to congratulate him. Well, Jones, he said, I heard the Lord has smiled on you. Smiled at me, replied Jones. He's laughed out loud.
It's an LOL joke back in 1923.
Right. Here we go, and one more for you.
All right.
I got a few more, but one good one.
Okay, good.
Little Johnny was stroking the cat before the fireplace.
Not a euphemism.
The cat, happy and contented, began to purr loudly.
Uh-huh.
Johnny gazed at her for a while in surprise, then suddenly seized her by the tail and dragged her roughly across the room.
Jeez.
Away from the hearth.
Okay.
His mother interposed. Why, Johnny, you mustn't hurt kits. I'm not, exclaimed Johnny, but I have to get her away from the fire. She's beginning to boil.
That is a steampunk joke.
That's an anti-cruelty joke.
So that's what happens when you start purring by the fire. That motherfucker will grab you right by the tail and whip you around the house.
Let me interpose with my observation.
You mustn't hurt kids, little Johnny.
Don't hurt the kids. Please.
One more.
All right, do it.
Two town urchins went into the country, and one came across a lot of old condensed milk tins in the corner of a field. Come here quick, Jack, exclaimed the discoverer. I found a cow's nest.
Oh, he didn't know that the...
That's a hobo joke.
Yeah, basically, it is.
Condensed milk tins.
See, this is where cows lay their eggs.
Yeah. Man, even fucking old-fashioned packaging is dumb.
Yeah.
It's time to play Jazz Dead in Chicago.
Is it now?
Oh, boy.
It's the game where Andy tells us about people who died in Chicago.
You have to guess what word I've left out.
Mm-hmm.
A young lady employed... I'm sorry, this story is brought to you from the Chicago Tribune, May 5th, 1874.
Excellent.
A young lady employed at the blank factory, named Torange, was frightfully mutilated this noon.
Oh, no.
While stooping to pick up the blanks, which had fallen to the floor during her morning's work. Her flowing hair was caught by a revolving shaft, and in an instant, the entire left hemisphere of the scalp was torn from the skull.
Oh, no.
For a moment, the skull gleamed with a ghastly whiteness. And then blood started in torrents. Some moments elapsed before the machinery could be stopped, and the unfortunate young woman released from her horrible situation. The spectacle was a sickening one and well-nigh paralyzed her companions.
Yeah.
As in some other cases of this nature, the victim at first experienced no pain and was able to walk home. She now lies dead, and it will be impossible to replace the scalp as it was torn into fragments.
Oh,
you don't have to replace it now. She's dead.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, open or closed casket would be the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, Chicago was a fucked up place, dude.
Yeah. Man.
People had pet bears and shit. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? What kind of factory was she working at?
Her scalp was torn off.
This might be a hard one.
This is kind of a hard one. There were so many different kinds of factories.
Right. Yeah, but which ones would allow women to work in them?
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of them did, actually. I mean, in fact, back then, there were kids working everywhere.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know?
Victorian time, kid labor. Yeah,
basically. Mm-hmm. You had kids just not going to school and shit working.
Yeah.
They changed all the labor laws.
I'd say a textile factory.
Good
what
one.
A textile?
You know, like making clothing and stuff.
Okay.
Cloth.
Mm-hmm. Cloth.
I'm going to say a condensed milk cannery.
Condensed milk tannery?
Yes.
Where they catch...
I said cannery, but yes, where they can it.
Condensed milk in the wild and
they, no,
like
yeah,
a tuna
exactly.
factory.
Exactly. No, you know what I'm saying. Come on.
Well, you're both wrong.
Ah!
It was, in fact, a button factory.
Hey!
That wasn't that far off.
Okay.
Close, yep. Yeah. Johnny was closer.
All right.
And that's dead in Chicago.
There you go.
Sucks. Yeah, they had a lot of weird-ass fucking machinery back then, man.
Yeah.
Actually, they still do, but like...
Everything looked like a Willy Wonka's factory.
Right.
Bunch of conveyor belts that somebody had to sit there and turn.
That's right.
They were like, get the smallest dude up there, sit on that bicycle, and turn that big old wheel on the back.
Yep.
Somebody lost an arm every week.
Yeah.
Everything was...
And they were like, that's just one arm. Get back out there.
Yeah, exactly.
We're making textiles, Ferguson.
You and your Irish pals, get back to work.
That's right. Filthy mix. I was going to say, you know, back then you would crank your car, and actually the fracture that I got, this bone fracture, my radius fracture that I got from my wrist, they used to call it a chauffeur's fracture because you would be winding the car up, and sometimes it would catch and fucking break your arm, dude, and, like, just crack that shit. Awful.
Oh, my God.
I think you would have been a perfect chauffeur for back then.
Oh, man. Yeah, no doubt.
With your big fucking tall hat.
Sure. My manicured mustache.
You got a hole right in the top of the car for your stovepipe hat.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, James.
I'm like
please.
This filthy wop, but I would talk with a British accent to throw everybody off. Good day, governor. Ready for a lift now? Are you?
Down Wabash Street.
Let's...
Shall we take in the theatre tonight?
Let's stroll merrily along.
I think you have a new character, buddy.
All right, let's do it.
And the wife would be like, we need to have a ye open relationship with our chauffeur.
Oh, you're nasty.
Ye old open relationship.
What is that, dear?
Yeah.
It is where I have copulation rights for both you and another that is betrothed to me.
Oh, dear. Oh.
And that's the news.
That's the news! Oh. All right, well, I guess that's the news.
This has been Anderson Laufer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
That's right, Anderson Laufer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff, brought to you by Tweaked Audio on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network, brought to you by Jets Pizza.
if I'm not mistaken, Jazz, if people use the code word game show at tweakedaudio.com, they get 33% off and free shipping.
33% off. That's a third. And free shipping is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, you use headphones every day, on your way to work?
Yeah, you do too?
Uh-huh.
So do I.
Yeah.
Tweaked Audio, man. They got good ones. And
they sure
you can
do.
Get those Bluetooth ones there now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you don't need
fancy
anything.
Fancy stuff.
Just plug them right in and then off you go. Hook it up to your phone.
Put it right in your fucking stupid head.
Yeah. Put it in your loser ears and then head on out there.
Yeah.
Do your stupid job.
And try not to get eaten by snakes or spiders.
Oh, God.
At least you'll be listening to good music on name brand headphones. Tweaked Audio.
Hot stuff.
TweakedAudio.com.
And now it's time for birthday shout-out!
December 12th!
And today is April 4th, which means it's a great day to be
an amazing American architect,
an amazing American activist,
an amazing American author,
or D, all of the above!
Happy birthday, Mary Elizabeth Jane Coulter!
Hopi House, The Lookout, Herman's Rest, Phantom Ranch, Desert View Watchtower, Bright Angel, and La Fonda!
Living Spanish, Colonial, a Mission Revival, your style had an enormous influence on design!
Native American motifs and rustic elements are featured on your many landmark buildings in the Southwest.
What's up, Dorothy Lynn Dix?
After serving as a military nurse, you basically became the patron saint of the indigent insane.
By vigorously lobbying Congress, you helped create the first mental asylums in America. Kudos!
For your accomplishments, you've been given countless honors, including a postage stamp, a naval ship, and a psychiatric center. Well, there's even a crater on Venus named in your honor. Out of this world!
Happy birthday, Maya Angelou.
Fry cook, sex worker, nightclub dancer, opera singer, journalist, and coordinator of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference were just a few of the jobs you held before becoming a poet.
With life experiences like that, it's no wonder you know why the caged bird sings.
Your writings earned you international acclaim, but your work in the civil rights movement alongside MLK and Malcolm X earned you the right to stand up for your generation. And over 50 honorary decrees.
That's more than Bill Cosby.
That's crazy.
Also, let's not forget
Pulitzer Prize winning dramatist and Academy Award winning screenwriter Robert Sherwood.
Ballroom dancing businessman who taught Eleanor Roosevelt how to waltz, Arthur Murray.
Anthony Perkins of Psycho fame.
Craig T. Nelson of Coach fame.
Heath Ledger of Joker fame.
Robert Downey Jr. of Iron Man fame.
And also born today,
that weird magician David Blaine.
That weird comedian David Cross.
Golden Age baseballers Gil Hodges and Tris Speaker.
And today's birthday shout-out band is
on guitar, the legendary Muddy Waters.
On bass, Barry Oakley of the Allman Brothers Band.
On drums, Pick Withers of Dire Straits.
On trumpet, Hugh Masekela.
With golden soul vocals by Jill Scott.
R&B dance hooks by Major Lance.
Ragamuffin stylings by Junior Braithwaite of the Wailers.
Chicago raps by Malik Youssef.
Masterful mixing by Mixmaster Mike and the Beastie Boy.
And classical compositions by Elmer Bernstein.
And if you've got a birthday shout-out, drop us a line and stuff at RadioMisfits.com.
Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online for free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for information.
Please do it. Because, you know, there's like 19,178,000 birthdays every day, y'all. And we try to celebrate a few of them here at the game show every week. And that's what we did right there with birthday shout-outs. Yeah. What's next, Anderson?
Well, Jazz, it's going to take us a minute to set this up, and
okay.
I just realized we left it in the bag. So let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to play our new game. I'm so excited that Johnny has no idea about this game.
Yeah.
Putting on airs.
That's right.
Right after this.
The Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. Tweaked Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweak. Tweaked Audio has earbuds in several styles and colors with flat cable and inline mic. Plus, they offer a classic metal or stylish wood design. And waterproof sports buds with silicone caps that hold them in place no matter what your activity. Not only that, Tweets Audio also offers an over-the-head option with removable cable and inline one-button microphone for travel, stereo, or studio use. Go to tweetsaudio.com to order yours now and use the code GAMESHOW for 33% off and free worldwide shipping. Tweetsaudio.com. Tweets Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweet.
Tuesday night, pudding night. What a Tuesday mess. Night and the pudding's right.
That's right. There you go. All right, come on, we're going to bring it back now. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Game Show, showing stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I am Jazz, and he is Andy.
That's right. Welcome back, and it's time for us to play our new game, Jazz.
That's right.
It's called Pudding on Airs.
That's right. Pudding on Airs, the game that combines radio and dairy products. Two great tastes that don't taste great together.
Well, we'll see. Everything's an experiment nowadays.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
And we have three contestants. It's you, Jazz, me, Andy, and Jonathan Evelyn Moran.
That's right.
And tell us, how do we play Pudding on Airs?
All right, Anderson, I'm glad you asked. Here's how we play Pudding on Airs. Impressions are an entertaining challenge for performers, and entertainers are all taught to avoid dairy products before performing in order to avoid the copious amounts of phlegm they reportedly produce. Well, here at the Game Show and stuff, we like to flout the rules. So we figured, why not do the exact opposite? Just for fun, pull a celebrity name out of a hat, shove a spoonful of pudding in your mouth, and give it a go. What could possibly go wrong? And that's how you play, everyone say it with me, Pudding on Airs. Yes! What a blast.
Oh, okay, I've got the hat right here. Uh-huh. Everybody open. Which pudding are you going to have first, Johnny?
I'm gonna go with the chocolate one.
He has chocolate. We also have caramel and tapioca.
I'm going this double chocolate action right here.
Okay, I'll do caramel first.
We got double.
This shit is looking old
chocolate,
as hell.
Yeah.
Just recently bought at the store.
It smells so good.
Okay. Who should go first?
I don't know, but I'm
fuck it, I'll go.
Johnny's going to go first. Okay, come on.
I live
over
my
here.
Life.
Here, grab a name out of the hat, and Johnny, here's the rules. You cannot say the famous line of the person. And you can't say their name, okay?
It's all right.
So whatever thing, whatever line
so
we
the
might
idea
associate.
Is to just do the impression, don't do it with their catchphrase,
yeah.
And
yeah,
don't
yeah.
use their name.
Right. That's right. But you got to do a whole shit ton of pudding in your mouth.
What the fuck?
All right, here, all right, we,
here
go.
We go.
Put a whole bunch in there, Johnny, in your craw. He ate it. He swallowed
right,
it already.
Can't help it.
I did such an amazing job creating the thing that represents America. And I'm recognized for
oh God.
My contribution.
More pudding!
George Washington.
No.
Good guess, though.
I should be on a piece of money, on currency. But
Pocahontas.
People keep arguing against me.
Harriet Tubman?
Harriet Tubman.
God damn.
Who's another
fan? We wouldn't know what she sounds like anyway. There's no recording.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh. I'm very good at stitching.
Oh. Flag Lady.
Betsy Ross?
Betsy Ross.
No?
Susan B. Anthony.
Boom. There you go.
Good job, Johnny.
I don't know that I would know what she sounds like either.
He was doing a lady's voice for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Old lady voice.
For sure.
Here, I'll go next, ready?
All right, go, Anderson.
Man, that's been a long time since I had pudding. That was fucking tasty.
It's not bad, right? All right. Shoveling the tapioca into his mouth. Or is that caramel?
Caramel.
Hey, why is this Listen, Papa. I want to have fun with my brother.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
My brother.
This is the worst.
You're always.
Oh, God. It's a good thing we're not on television because this
the drunk guy from The Simpsons.
You're always fighting with me.
My brother's always fighting with me.
I
swear to God, if you get pudding all over these microphones, it's gonna be the end
sitcom.
Of you.
I'm in a sitcom. My brother's. Hey. Brad Dourif.
No. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. It's talking about
everybody.
Everybody loves Raymond.
I'm a guy.
His brother.
I'm a guy.
Oh, you're Raymond.
Ray?
Ray.
There it is.
Yeah. Woo! He's actually pretty good. I actually got that.
That's impressive.
Hey.
Very impressive. Yeah,
hey.
Oh, my God.
Deborah's always mad at me.
Oh, my God.
It's almost like an old Kermit.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah, he's very Kermit-y. Okay.
And Al Michaels, too.
Here we go. Big old mouthful of chocolate pudding.
Here we go.
Here comes the nightmare.
With clouds one.
Neil Diamond.
Yeah! What are you talking about?
With a good Bob. With a good Bob.
Good job, Jazz.
Thanks.
You're definitely in the lead.
That was fast. It's not fair with his music.
That's true.
I had this whole, like, 6-ounce thing in my mouth.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Are you fucking kidding me with this bullshit? Oh, my God.
Johnny must have got a more obscure one. That's what he's so mad about here.
Jesus. All right.
Here we go. These caramel ones are delicious.
Yeah?
This should be a commercial for Snack Pack.
Uh-huh. Good old Snack Pack, baby.
Good morning, America.
Good morning,
I'm
America.
Here to speak with Bill Corp.
What did he say?
Is it Monica Lewinsky?
I'm here to speak for Bill Clinton, he said.
With Bill Clinton?
Here on ABC News.
Oh, ABC News.
Was it Barbara Walters?
No. Who's the lady? Not Barbara Walters, the other one. The newscaster. Jane Pauley.
Linda Yu.
No, the main one. Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer.
Hey, good job.
Even though my fucking impressions are flawless.
Yeah, perfect.
You would never guess.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Next one. Ready?
How much of this fucking pudding are we going to eat, man?
We got a bunch.
I don't know.
No, dude, I'm not going through all of this fucking pudding.
It's what's for dinner.
Dude.
Yeah. Pudding dinners again. We're tightening our belts around here.
What a nightmare.
Ready?
Yeah.
Folks, you can't see it on the internet, but just the watching these dudes shove pudding in their mouth.
It really is something.
It really is something.
It's impressive.
I played shortstop for the New York Yankees.
Derek Jeter.
Hey!
Well done. Oh, my turn now? All right, here we go. This is going to be
real. It would be nice if you actually put names of people that we could actually make impressions
that
of.
We could do impressions of. These are really hard. All right, and now I'm going to do this one with the tapioca.
Instead of you playing fucking charades.
I was going to do Dave and Niven from Guns of Navarro.
Guns of Navarro, yeah, my favorite. All right, I'm going to do the...
L.A. Weasel.
There you go. I'm going to do the tapioca so that I have the additional challenge of having these balls in my mouth.
Yeah, dead mouth balls.
Here we go.
Jesus.
Whew.
I can't look.
Okay, here we go.
Too many balls in that tapioca.
It really is. She said... She said she wanted to do it on a real train.
On a real train.
Come on.
She said,
I'm a Scientologist.
A Scientologist. She wants to do it.
Come on.
Who's a Scientologist?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
Okay.
He wants to do it on a train.
Don't you remember from Risky Business? He's like, she said she wanted to do it on a real train.
Yeah, there you
Come on.
Yeah, you can't say show me the money. That's
no.
Yeah.
Thank you for the 30-year-old reference.
Well, you know what? It's a fucking classic.
Yeah, goddamn
Jesus.
Asshole.
I had a mouthful of tapioca with balls in my mouth. What do you want me to do?
Oh, finally something I can actually do.
All
something
right.
You can sink your teeth into as an actor. Right?
roll this, something I can roll this pudding on my tongue around.
Oh, my God. I just about died. I just about choked and died there.
From
it was
giggling?
Like, I was a second away from just, like, putting all that pudding in my lungs.
He died from pudding lungs.
Look at him crying over here.
That'd be one of the stories in the Chicago Tribune in the 1800s. Henceforth, he died from pudding lungs.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I'm not going to go to Vietnam.
I'm not going to Vietnam. Muhammad Ali.
Arlo Guthrie.
Hey!
Muhammad Ali, good one. All right.
Nice. Oh, sweet Lord. All right, this is our third and final
really like
one, right?
I don't like that flavor. It's pretty all right. Kind of shitty.
You don't like that? Which one?
The one with sugar-free, which is a big surprise. Yeah.
Here we go. Ready?
Yep. This is going to be great.
This music is quite jaunty. I like it.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, God!
Oh, my God. Oh, you're going to die. Forsooth?
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare?
Ah!
Wow.
Hey!
Wow. One word. Two syllables. Forsooth. How in the hell did you put... Why would you put William Shakespeare as an impression?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
In the fucking hat.
Why did you pick fucking
Diane
Sawyer?
No one knows what Shakespeare sounds like, motherfucker.
I didn't put these in. We had someone else add them.
Oh, okay. Someone from the home office in...
Oskaloosa.
In Oskaloosa, Iowa. All right. Oh, boy. This is going to be a tough one, I think. All right. Into my mouth goes the tapioca balls. Oh, yeah.
Lake Havasu.
I ran for president. I became the head of... Operation Push.
Jesse Jackson.
Yeah!
Yes!
Woo!
Wow.
Putting on airs.
You gotta love it. It's America's favorite new game.
Impressions with pudding mouth.
Yeah. Impressions of people that we don't know what they sound like. Well done.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It has to be obscure people, and you have to say things that aren't
true.
Their line, right?
True. I'm just amazed. I'm really proud of us guys for not spewing pudding all over the studio right now, because it was close. I mean, I got a little on my arm over here from almost dying. But
I know myself well enough that I moved away from the computer because I was like, I better ruin the computer.
Smart man.
Oh, that was a pretty fun game.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was good.
I think it'll be even more fun when we have a guest in here.
Oh, God.
someone who's not as tuned in as we are. Yeah,
right. Tuned
and
in.
Here's another thing.
We're so tuned in.
We could start to use other food products.
That's true.
Well.
Yeah.
Like guacamole.
Yeah.
Or
you could do like the orange wedge in your mouth like Marlon Brando in fucking Godfather.
Mm-hmm. I'm with it.
All right.
Okay, so pretty good. All in all, a good first time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good trial run.
Okay. I gotta say, I've never had tapioca before. It ain't bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
You got anything you gotta say, Johnny?
I hope everybody has a good week.
Yeah.
And go Cubs.
Yeah, absolutely, go Cubs.
And I'll be at Zany's Comedy Club.
All right.
Midnight on Monday.
Okay.
May 22nd.
Check-in IDs at the door.
Is that true? Or are you going to
No.
I want to go to an open mic, you guys. That's what I'm going to say. Let's go to an open mic one night soon.
All right.
Let's do it.
I'll go do 5 minutes. How long do you get in an open mic? Two minutes?
I think two.
Which is tough. Only 2 minutes?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm not.
It's like you introduce yourself, you say two jokes, and you leave?
You got to be like ready to bang zoom it.
Jesus.
Yeah. I'll do 2 minutes. Right. You can really, I could stretch out.
Oh, I know you could stretch out.
Three sentences.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes.
Yeah. I got some ideas.
Okay.
Anything from
Excuse me.
Good to go?
No, just that belch, man. Just that tapioca belch.
If you're listening and you play Putting on Airs with your friends, please send us pictures.
Yeah.
Andstuff@radiomisfits.com.
Please
send us video.
It.
Yeah.
Please do it.
Okay.
Well, guys, it was short but sweet. And that pun is intended.
We will
see you next Tuesday. Yeah.
All right, Ramblers, let's get Ramblers.
That's it. It's over. Show's over.
Let me get my shoes.
Let's relax.
What the f*** happened to my shoes? Right back.
Okay, show's over.